Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Door. It was when you were showing me my room. There was a girl at the front door that, like, ran away.
Yo, that was real?
That was real.
I thought that was the mushroom.
Dog,
no,
that was real.
That was very
real.
Dude,
who was that girl?
We don't know.
No
idea.
Are you ready?
It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network. I'm coming to you live looking like FDR in his wheelchair.
FDR and Huck Finn, we're famous friends.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's going to be like an ASMR episode with the wind and the...
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. You know, when they talk about a baseball broadcast, the sounds of the game?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the sounds of the podcast game. We are live on the Westport River. I'm sitting on an old rocking chair. I got Jackie's shirt laying over my legs like I got polio because I don't want to get sunburned. John's wearing his mom's gardening hat and a pair of pants that I think were sewn in 1711. He looks like he is Huckleberry Finn about to go down the river.
I've had a couple of vibes this weekend.
Oh, you've had vibes on vibes on vibes. You had Prison Mike going last night. You've had the Huck Finn vibe going for a bit.
Last night I had on a bandana, a purple bandana, Prison Mike. Someone at the bar just says, "Would you like a bandana?" And I said, "Of course I'd like a bandana."
I mean, anybody ever says to you, "You want a bandana?" You say yes.
And he laid out three, an American flag one, a red one, I think, and a purple one. And he was flabbergasted that I chose the purple one.
It's like, it's the most famous bandana in the world for our kind.
It's the obvious choice.
Now, granted, the clientele is probably a little different from, like, us, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly the guy tweeting out office jokes all the time, you know?
He was kind of offended you didn't choose the American flag.
He was super offended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you mean?
But, yeah, it's been a vibey weekend. We are out here. It was for John's birthday. Happy 34th.
34.
Feeling old?
No, I've never had a birthday where I'm like, oh, I'm old.
This was my first one, 37.
37.
Well, I'll be 38. So I guess this one coming up is going to fuck me. But 37 was bad because that's when I realized I was late 30s.
Yeah.
And
I'm officially mid 30s.
Yeah, but yeah. late 30s, early 40s. Definitely your 40s are your worst decade. I think we've talked about this before. I think they're your worst decade because you're not young anymore, but you're not old enough to be a cool old guy.
Yeah.
You're just an old guy.
Yeah.
Like you could be like the even like 50, 55 year old, but certainly like a 60 year old guy. You're at the bar, you kind of like, you know, playfully hit on the girls, and you take a celebrity shot in beer pong, and it's kind of a funny thing. When you're 40, it's just like, go home, you skinny, fat loser, you know?
Go raise your kids, dude.
Yeah, like you're still trying to, because you know what it is, too? 40, is, for a lot of people, is that they haven't figured out our producers... I have been pranking Nick this entire time, tickling his ears.
I can't wait till Jackie falls in the water.
you are dangerously close, girl.
Might give her a kick.
40 is when you haven't realized you're old yet. You haven't succumbed to it. Like, you're not socially aware enough to be like, God bless. To be like, no, man. Like, people don't think that, like... Jay-Z's the best rapper ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
your
yeah.
opinions are old and dated. Just fucking deal with it. And you're still holding on. I think when you're, like, 50, 60, you realize, like, I'm just the old man, and I'm just, like, any little bit of fun I can have. Anyway, that's all to say that 34, it ain't bad.
We're in a pretty, like, toxic relationship with the world. We're, like, it's very Peter Pan-esque. Like, I've never had a birthday where I felt I was old because I've never had to be...
An adult.
Like,
yeah.
I'm still very much a child.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. You're a man, baby.
But like, that's just a product of our environment.
Yep.
It's like, it's. I think it would be a bad career decision to get old.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like.
I
know it's like a phrase. Like it's age is just a number, but like it.
I agree and I disagree. I've always used the phrase age appropriately because I think that trying to hold on to youth, if you can actually stay young, then stay young.
Yeah.
When you're not successfully doing it and you're trying to hold on to it, I think you actually look like the biggest loser in the world.
Yeah, no, I get
you know?
I agree.
So
I
it's
agree.
Like if you somehow whether you are blessed with the right job, which you are, or like you look young or you stay young, if you, you know, it's Billy Madison, stay here as long as you can. It's when you're like, yeah, I'm still cool. And it's like, bro, you are 25 pounds overweight. You don't know how to dress anymore. You don't know what, like, what's cool. Like, you know, that's it. Your life's over. So, but yeah, it's an interesting paradox between being young and trying to be young, you know? Mm-hmm. I had a moment last night at the bar with the youths. I was sitting with Pavs and Jackie, and Nick was there too, but he's not so much a youth anymore. And I was looking at this. So we went to the bar that John loves to go to that says all the regular stuff. What does it say?
All the usual refreshments.
All the usual refreshments.
The tagline of the bar.
Like, you just, all the usual refreshments. All the shit you need. And it lived up to the hype and then some. And I was looking behind the bar, and there was just this 8.5 by 11 printed out piece of paper, white, black writing. And it just had the schedule for the bands that were playing. Sunday through Monday. Some guy named John Gage was playing several times that week. A couple individuals, a couple bands. And I was thinking that there's just like some dudes and girls out here who probably work on the water or some shit. And then they, like one or two nights a week, they play a gig at this bar that's really like a VFW post.
Yeah. You know,
it's not like a bar. Like, it's like a homeless shelter that's been turned into a bar.
And it's an incredibly dive bar.
Yeah. Like, dive doesn't... Like, dive bar implies sometimes... Like, there's tons of dive bars in New York that are probably like $50,000 rent a month.
Yeah.
And they just... It's like a theme. It's a motif. Yeah. Like, we're almost like making it a dive bar on purpose. This was
just a gutted house.
They put like some linoleum on the floor, and it's awesome. Shout out to Sue behind the bar. I'll be honest, I wanted a little more of a reaction for the tips I was giving her, and I got nothing. It was crazy. I was giving the bar. I got a whiskey, a vodka soda, two Budweisers, and three Trulies. And it was $30. And I was like, what the fuck? And then another round, I got like five beers. It was $19. So I was giving her 100% tips on everything.
City slicker throwing that money around.
Yes, exactly. Not even one ounce of
preferential treatment. She would rather not have the tip.
1,000%. But anyway, these guys and these people who were just playing, I was just thinking of them, like, their life, and maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they want to put a fucking shotgun in their mouth. Who knows? But I was just thinking, they're probably just like, this is awesome, man. I get to fucking play music at the bar, and I got this job on the water or whatever I've concocted in my head that they do, and they just live this like happy, simple life.
Yeah, it's what I'm going to do in about 3 years.
Well, that's, you know what's funny?
I'm going to start taking guitar lessons, and then once I
play shitty open mics,
moderately okay at a guitar, see you later.
Well, here's what I realized, because we're just doing it right now, right here, and this is mostly my fault, is I've been the one who hasn't been able to like do this kind of stuff, but like, we could do this forever.
Yeah,
we should just do this forever, and then this is our gig, you know, like, they play music at the bar, we do this and hopefully make way more money than they would. But it doesn't have to be this. I mean, in some ways it does. Like, I don't know, you think that if this was our podcast from Jump Street, let's say that we had a show called Franklin and Huckleberry and this was it. And it caught on because this is like a cool scene. It's just like, have you seen that podcast where the guy wears his mom's hat and the other guy looks like he's got polio and they just talk on the water? And do you think that we had to be in like a big Manhattan studio to get all the guests and all that shit? Do you think we would have been in the same?
There's literally a very successful podcast just called Podcast But Outside. They just set up a table and they interview people walking by and like, yeah, no.
But, like, could we have ever gotten to, you know, we still have had these moments that, like, you know, we've landed some big comics and some Hallmark guests and all that kind of shit. We were in the mix at Barstool a lot. Like, you know, there's storylines that come up and we have our coworkers on, all that shit. If you're just two guys on a fucking dock, you better, like, bring it.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And I don't know if, I don't know personally I could, you know. There's a lot of, like, I use a lot of our, you know, environment for the podcast.
For sure.
You know,
but I mean, like, we can use our environment we create
out here.
Jackie was on one.
Jackie's performance last night was a perfect 10.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen
over there.
Jackie,
get in the kayak.
She was talking in the third person,
Like
she,
a lot.
She was she was she said dog so many times. What's up, dog? What's up, dog? I just want the dogs to have fun. I'm here for the dogs. Happy birthday, dog. But she had a moment where and I was almost mad at this, where she said that she has not really been her full self.
Oh, yes.
Around us. She's like, I'm still so intimidated by you guys that the way I am with my friends is totally different to the way I am now. And I was like, bitch, stop doing that. Be yourself. What do you understand about that?
I get that feeling. I mean, cause I'm still that way. Like, I'm that way with Dave very much.
Yeah, but we're so. But that's what I mean. I've made like such an effort to not be like Dave in that regard when it comes to like co-hosts or employees. You know, like being nervous around us is insane. We regularly say how you're going to be the host of the show soon, but she goes from I really have not even been myself around you guys to no more than 10 minutes later, she found a basketball. Was using it as a soccer ball from her days on that soccer team when she was 12. And she was just, like, dribbling it around, bringing it up to people, and then pulling it away going, bitch, you thought? Oh, you thought? Bitch, you thought? Just playing soccer with herself.
Just a few drinks away from being my full self
around. That's really all it is. We just needed the funniest thing. What do you think the funniest moment of Jackie's night was? I have a clear winner.
I think the Kings.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were at the bar that we just mentioned, and we decided we were going to go home and play Kings. Jackie said she had cards.
She
was the one who pitched Kings.
Yeah, he's been hyping Kings for 2 hours.
Wait a minute. You hyped Kings at the bar.
Yeah, I brought up Kings.
But then you realized at the bar.
But then because I was like, I want to play Kings. And I was like, well, I don't actually have cards. But I was like, well, somebody will have cards. And then I was like, I know that if I say I don't have cards, that you guys are going to be like,
kill the mood. Like,
are you guys going to be like, we're not going to do that because we don't have cards. So I wanted to get everybody on board.
Got it.
And then.
So. Imagine that whole pitch, but Jackie, instead of saying I, just was talking to the third person. She so Jackie basically promised everybody
so that she,
just sit on the ground.
Yeah.
Jackie promised everybody that she had a deck of cards, that we were going to go back to the house and play Kings. We get there and then finally has to admit that she knows she doesn't have cards, but was still just George Costanza going to the Hamptons because she thought someone else would have cards and that the dogs like, would still get to play.
Why do you think we just travel with cards? You're like, someone will have cards.
Now, to be fair, downstairs in my room in the basement is a game chest.
Oh, yeah, there probably are cards.
But there wasn't. There's Scrabble, there's Jenga, there's a whole bunch of other shit, but not a deck of cards to be found. So Jackie was going like, Jackie knew that Jackie didn't have any cards. Jackie said that we play Kings, but Jackie thought that somebody else would have cards. Jackie was wrong.
Guys, Jackie's known for about 3 hours that Jackie didn't have cards.
Jackie didn't know how to come clean.
She is the best. She is the absolute best. Yeah. How about this? An interesting thing. Jackie packed insanely light for her week competing in Barstool HQ. For Survivor, and yes. Like within like 2 days, she said she didn't have underwear.
Yeah.
What?
And
you guys bring 2 pairs of underwear?
Yeah. I thought that I did, but I guess I didn't.
And then she said, like, you guys made a promise. You guys made a promise on the air that if anybody ever said I need underwear, that you would go and get it. And I was like, I don't know if this promise holds true. I don't think I can go get you underwear. I think that would be like against like Better Business Bureau. I think that would be against like it would be creepy if I went and bought you fucking underwear. Imagine that. But I did. I made a promise. I didn't say it to any guy out there who said boxers. I said if anyone ever says I'm in a jam and I need underwear, no questions asked.
I should have just texted. I should have just seen what
just
you got.
Just to see would you have gotten Jackie underwear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would it have been like granny panties.
Yeah.
I would go get her
like Dwayne Reed.
Comical, like huge underwear.
Yeah, I'm not
if you came back with like a thong for Jackie, that would be weird.
Yes, for sure. No, I wouldn't get you underwear, I'd get you underpants.
Yeah. I'd get you bloomers. Yeah. I think it's equally weird. No, it's definitely weird if we came back and had anything that could be considered like sexy. But I think it's also weird to be like, here you go, girl. Here are some fucking bloomers.
Yeah.
I think I would get you boxers. Yeah. I think I would get you boxer briefs and be like, here are just like guys' boxer briefs.
That probably would be the best move.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a dick pouch, but deal with it. You know? Here are my Manscaped boxers.
I'd go to Victoria's Secret just to talk to the ladies working there.
Let me present the scenario to you.
Who's this for? Like, this is for
coworker. Yeah, okay.
And you're getting them why? Like, she's just living at the office and forgot her underpants. So
the questions that you have to try to answer when you're talking about some Barstool scenario sometimes.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, you know? It's like, don't even bother, man. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it.
First, because I walked into, like, the breakfast spot that I always go in, and I, like, got, like, I had, like, my bags and everything, and they were like, oh, where are you going? I was like, oh, I'm actually, like, living in the office. And as soon as they said that, I was like, it's a long story. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole fucking thing. So it's just us going solo today. We'll have our voicemails. We'll do, we'll go through some one-minute man topics as well. But I want
to say, before we move on any further, I was on the absolute perfect amount of mushrooms last night.
Yeah, oh, yes, you were.
Dude, I...
You were on the most perfect amount of mushrooms for everyone else who was not on mushrooms. Like, you were making... The things you would laugh at, and then we'd be laughing at that, and you would... You know when you laugh and you kind of repeat the joke that was just said?
Yeah, yeah.
We were laughing about something, and then you would repeat a different joke and kick up the laughter about that. And then it was just like one big rolling laugh the whole time.
You guys were in bed. It's just, I think it was just Pavs up. But I saw like a man in the tennis court, and I was laughing at this man. It's just like in the cracks of the tennis court. It looked like there's like a man. And I was just standing there staring at it, laughing so incredibly hard.
Well, I remember that very tennis court when I was on mushrooms. I was just looking at the light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember someone, I was like, I don't think the mushrooms has kicked in. And I was just staring at a light, and I was like, yes, they have. Yes, they have. But wait, you say you saw a man in the cracks of the ground. What about the fucking human girl that was at your house last night?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Wait.
There was a girl at the door. It was when you were showing me my room. There was a girl at the front door that, like, ran away.
Yo, that was real?
That was real.
I thought that was the mushrooms.
Dog, no, that was real.
That was very real.
Dude, who was that girl?
I have no idea.
What? That was real?
Yes.
That was real. Get the fuck out of here.
He told me this morning, and I was like, he kind of just said it, like, he definitely was like, it was weird and scary, but I was kind of like, he just kind of, at the same time, just told it like, hey, you know, it was a weird thing at the end of the night? I was like,
who was the girl?
Who was the girl? Why was she running away? Like, it's not like a... I mean, your neighbors aren't, like, miles away by any means, but it's also not just, like, a, hey, that was, you know, Stacy from next door.
No,
you're separate,
you
know?
We don't know the neighbors. Yeah. The neighbors were not just coming to my fucking house.
No.
Who the fuck was that girl?
Yeah.
I thought for sure that was the mushrooms.
Nope, that was very real.
Nope.
You were on mushrooms, too.
I was.
We're sure it was real?
I'm sure. Well, we wouldn't both see, no, yeah.
The same hallucination? That would be some mushrooms.
White shirt, like, pink on it.
I honestly just thought
she was outside or inside?
Outside.
Inside.
Okay.
No, no, she was outside.
Oh, she was out. I thought I heard a door close.
It might have been like she was thought she was at the right place. Like, I did that in college. I accidentally went to the wrong house.
We don't think it was any of your sister's friends? Because we did kind of have like a full house here, no?
But,
or did they not stay
they
here?
They never came back.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They stayed. We left them at the bar.
They did close the door. They did. Now that you say that.
Huh?
Yeah, they did close the door. I remember that now.
Bro.
Yeah. She was in the house.
You don't have one of those Ring doorbells, do you?
No.
Sponsor us, bro. You got to get that Simply Safe going.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
No, I actually like my parents aren't camera people. I hate
I like
that. You go to someone's house now and it's like, we have cameras in every room.
Bro, I go to a bathroom in someone's house and I'm like, oh, I can't even jerk off in here. Play a camera. Yeah. Kind of want to jerk off in the shower, but I bet they're watching. The cameras everywhere kind of weird me out. Because you know what?
I hang out with my buddy who, and granted, he has a kid and he's like a fucking, you know, fucking in the military and shit like that. So he's like, everything's on high alert kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, I'll hang out with him, and, like, his phone just constantly getting push notifications of just motion going in his rooms. Like, bro, you're at the bar. Why do you need to know who just moved in your living room?
Yeah. Dude,
you have a family. Probably one of your family members.
The need for fucking information in this world is absolutely bananas.
I know, like, kids that are still 23 years old, that their phones are tracked by their parents, so every time they walk out of a door, their parents get a notification. I don't know what it's called, but like
walk out of a door.
Walk out of a door. It gets a sensor when you leave a door.
Bro, I gotta say, I think we're moving too past this girl too quickly.
Let's go back to the girl.
There's
we'll come
just
back.
A woman in my house.
Well, no. Even worse, a girl.
Like, how old?
Like,
she was, like, if anything, early 20s. That's why I wasn't that scared. I was like, I think we could take her. But, like.
Oh, I thought it was, like, a young girl. To me, there's nothing. The two scariest things, whether you're talking about movies or real life, whatever.
I didn't
little girls and old women.
I didn't see her
are
face.
The scariest
I don't know
shit.
If, like, she was, like, walking away when I saw her. I didn't. Yeah.
Let's find out if any of them, like, came back to the house. They forgot something. They were. But they ran away. If it was one of her friends, she'd be like, hey, what's up?
Yo, I got a question for you.
Did any
of your friends come back to the house last night?
Last night? No, after I left, that was it.
Fuck!
No one came back.
Well, we came back to drop Nicole off at her car.
Did anybody come to the house?
We didn't come into the house, though, no.
There was a girl in the house last night.
What?
There was a girl in the house last night.
Was it Jackie?
No.
there. John thought it was the mushrooms, but it was real.
Me and Nick just like realized it was real. Like I thought I was like kind of like hallucinating or whatever. And there was a girl. What did you say she was in, Nick? She was in a white shirt.
Yeah, I think it was like a white shirt with like there was some
pink trim.
On it. She was like
white
walking
shirt
away.
And pink.
So yeah.
But as soon as they saw her, like the door, they heard a door close and then ran away.
It was at the front door.
That's crazy. I don't even think any. Nicole had a white shirt on, but
she—I
saw her get in her car and drive away, so she didn't come into the house.
Yeah, man, creepy girl.
It's very bizarre.
That's strange.
Where are you, by the way?
Doors.
Are you in the house?
Huh?
Are you in the house right now?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, okay. All right, I was just checking.
All right, let's hope she doesn't come back.
Okay, bye.
What if you guys are haunted? What if you guys are haunted?
Dude,
like this is
dude,
one of those
that
things, like,
was
like,
fucking
what if,
real.
What if a little girl drowned here
I do love
on
that
this
you
dock?
Just thought it was the mushrooms.
Yeah. Nick was like, mushrooms. We wouldn't have seen the same thing, dude. What if a little girl drowned here on the dock 8 years ago? She was 12 years old, and now she's 20, and this 20-year-old girl who haunts your house.
I mean,
and Polly sees her and just goes, "Get the fuck out of here!"
There's every possibility that that's the case. There's every possibility that's true.
Crazy. I'm starting to believe that kind of shit more and more and more.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I saw one last night and I still don't believe it.
We also almost had a bar fight situation with a 60-year-old woman.
Yeah.
That was fun.
She was mad that people were playing older music.
No, she was really mad about was that there was too much talking going on when Kid Rock came up.
Oh, is that what it was?
Kid Rock came on. I don't know which song. Kid Rock came on. Now,
show some respect.
Yeah. To be fair, we went to a bar, to a haunt, where, you know, 60-plus-year-old people drink whiskey out of paper plastic cups, and, you know, they're in, like, the American Legion Hall. And we brought a crew of, you know, 10 young girls who were like singing Miley and dancing and drunk and talking loud.
Yeah. Talking in third person.
Talking in third person. Doing the worm at one point. Shockingly, that was not Jackie.
Yeah.
I think if Jackie got another breast reduction, she could do the worm. I don't know if she could do it right now, but she would be the worm type for sure. So to be fair, we probably were being like the assholes, but this 60-year-old woman said, like, I don't get to hear this song very often. Meanwhile, it's on the fucking jukebox, man. It's not like, you know, it was a live performance that we were interrupting.
Yeah.
And she said, and like, I, you know, would appreciate it if you girls would like pipe down so I could listen. It was fucking Kid Rock. Then, I mean, this woman is old. She's got long white hair down to like her ass, glasses, wrinkly face, tie-dye shirt. Looks like she probably fucked Jerry Garcia a million times going on tour with the Dead. And then she turns to one of the girls in the pack, and she goes, "Nice eyebrows! Like you did a really nice job with that." And she's like, "Thank you." And she's like, "But your mustache needs work." And then it was like,
then it was on.
And it was on, and a couple girls like stepped in the way of her and like made like a little body wall, and there was some shit talking. And it's the type of bar fight where like Sue behind the bar might pull out 12 gauges.
Yeah.
Down, you know? So I was kind of like, guys, let's not fuck around too much. Anyway, we're outside while that happens, our crew. We then go back inside. The same woman compliments Jackie on her outfit. And she's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You like it? You know? Oh, thank you so much. And the girls are like, we don't like her. And Jackie was kind of like, I don't know. I'm team yeah. She's showering me with compliments. Like, me and her are sisters right now. It was quite the scene. We almost had to fight like a 60-year-old woman. I had one of the more like sobering moments of like, you are a piece of shit, like city slicker, fucking just dickhead. I was sitting at the bar, and one of the girls we were with, we were looking at this bulletin board, and up on it were these printed out like papers, printer paper, of people, their face, like a headshot. And then also some pictures of them just like arms around people, all pinned up. And they all had like haircuts from like 25 years ago, and their style looked really weird. And it was on a bulletin board at the bar. And so I was kind of cracking jokes, and I was like, I'm going to go see what these pictures are. And I get up and I walk over and I'm looking, and I'm like making fun of their look. This one's bangs look silly. This guy looks like, you know, he's stuck in the 90s, whatever. The owner of the bar comes by. Just casually walks by me and he goes, these are all the people we rescued from the Ukraine. And keeps walking. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, come back here. And he's like, this is my girlfriend. She's trapped in Ukraine. These are all her friends and family that we have raised money for to smuggle them out. And this one is like in Spain. This one's in Japan. This one got out and took a job in somewhere else in Europe. And he's like, and my girlfriend, of course, we save all these other people, but my girlfriend is the one that we can't get out. She's part of the local government there. And they told her if she tries to flee and they catch her, they'll shoot her dead on the spot as a traitor. And she works like 24 hours a day for half the pay. And I just can't. She's the one woman I can't get out of the Ukraine. But hey, like, we saved all these other people. And I was just like, yeah. Yeah. I'm such a fucking asshole. It's like,
nice Ukrainian bangs.
Woman, yeah, because this Ukrainian woman kind of had a little bit of an outdated haircut. Yeah. I was like, you dumb bitch. Meanwhile, she...
Your bangs look nice, but your mustache needs work.
Exactly. I mean, I was like, in the moment, I was like, how much do you need? How much? We'll get her home.
I'll go get her right now. Give me the keys.
She goes, nah.
Whose car are we taking?
She goes, she would never leave because her mother is still there. I was like, her too. Yeah. Her too. We'll get them all home. How much do you need? Man, he looked like a walrus, this guy. He was a great cat. And I was just like, man, I've just never felt like more of a fucking idiot. So, yeah, I mean, between the bar fight and the near bar fight and the Ukrainian smuggle, I felt like... quite out of place last night, but anyway, I'm feeling very much in place now as we sit on the dock. You can probably hear the wind blowing.
Sitting on a dock by the bay,
listening sitting to KFC on a Radio with us.
I'm gay.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
So we're out here. The Feidelberg family has graciously taken us in. You know what's going to be awesome? The leaves just going right in front of the camera a little bit is going to be very cool. So we're out here at the Feidelberg house on the water. And, of course, you know, John Sr. and Polly. Polly, these days, she's trying to, maybe give back to the community. Maybe trying to stay busy. But she's joined a group. What's the name of that group, John?
She's not joined it yet. She's interested in joining.
Oh, okay. So she's a free agent.
She's interested in joining.
And pursuing this group.
It is Olaug, I think it's out. It's O-L-A-U-G. O-L-A-U-G.
Oluag.
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 It is old ladies against underwater garbage. She wants to put on...
old
goggles
against underwater
and a snorkel, and she wants to go with a bunch of. But like, my mom is not old. She is, I guess, but she's not like You wouldn't look at my mom and go, that's an old lady. That's
No. But she's what, 55 plus?
No. Yeah,
no?
Yeah. Over.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, you're in that 55. Remember that community, the 55 and up community?
Yeah.
We're in that range. And, old ladies against old lady, underwater garbage.
Bro, but here's the deal. I got to show you this fucking picture.
Wait, they would like...
Look at this fucking
fish
picture.
Fish it. Oh, my God. We'll put it on the YouTube. You gotta go watch on the YouTube.
It is.
It's an old woman with a scuba mask on. Her hair is completely covering the scuba as she's climbing back into the kayak with her buddy who's in a life preserver paddling. And she just fished a full-size tire out of the fucking river.
It is an unbelievable picture.
I mean, props to her for fishing a fucking Goodyear.
Yeah.
For picking up a Michelin out of the fucking river. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm against underwater garbage, too. How about we do, like, young guys against underwater garbage?
Yagu. Dude, it is.
The Yagu.
I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, dude. Like, that's.
Polly's gonna fucking throw on goggles and go jump in this river and pick out garbage? No fucking way. No fucking way, dude.
I would be shocked.
No
if
fucking
she does
way.
Not end up an old lady against underwater. I'd be.
Old lady against underwater garbage, you know what that sounds like? Do you remember when Devlin pranked Tex on the definition of scuba?
Yes.
He went like sporting championships under baseball academy. That's what old ladies against underwater garbage.
Yeah.
Like somebody says, yo, like there's a government group called Oluwag. What does it mean? And I would just stumble my way. Old ladies against underwater garbage?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds completely and entirely made up.
It's fucking.
And yet, it's a real thing. God bless Polly.
It is very real.
She's going to go in there and run that joint.
Yeah.
Be like, you know, Agatha, you're out. Maud and Agnes, like, you're my right-hand women. I run this bitch.
Dolores, you know you're in the kayak today. You've been. Like, yeah.
Sorry.
Your scuba times have not been good.
Yeah. Listen, ladies, we got to get more underwater garbage. We are not doing a good job protecting the environment here. When you hit a certain age... It's appropriate. I guess we started talking about birthdays, and now we're talking about Oluwag. Will you? One of my goals in life is to do that retire from public life thing.
Yeah.
Usually that
just
comes
get dementia as your goal.
Yeah, usually that comes with like a sad. I'm going to be the first person to have all of my faculties and retire from public life. I don't want it to be because I have Alzheimer's. I want it to be because fuck you guys,
bro. That's 100% been my goal.
Yeah,
for a long time.
Okay, what age can you do that? Can you stop it? Yes, absolutely. I absolutely can stop it. What age do you think it's appropriate or you know, you're allowed to? Of course, you can do whenever you want. But, like, when would it be, like, you won't? Put it this way. What age could you retire from public life at and not have regrets when you kick the bucket? Be like, oh, fuck, I should have done public life a few more years.
33 would have been a good
33
one.
33 would have been
That's
a
when
great
Jesus
idea.
Did it, so.
Jesus cashed out. Jesus cashed out at 33, but that was a little bit, like, not his decision.
No, it was. He could have just gotten down off the cross, but he's like, I'm tired of public life.
That is true.
It was very stressful.
What a
I'd
shout
rather
out to
suffocate
Jesus.
Up here.
Shout out to Jesus for the ultimate... like attention grabbing moment, you know, like I could stop myself from being asphyxiated up here, but like, no, I want the attention.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, also like
what was also the most like my dad's making me do this.
That's so true.
like at 33, like, but, 34 now, this is, I guess my dad can make me do a lot of things.
If your dad told you to like do that,
yeah, basically, I'm like, I wouldn't do anything. I'm a man. Like,
yeah, right. I do what my parents tell me all the time.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine
if they were like suffocate? I'd push back. I'll be honest about that.
If they put a bag over my head,
I'd be like, come
I mean,
on.
Here's the thing.
Really,
that what really impresses me about Jesus is that whole scene, all the naysayers. Like, just a bunch of Jews who are just ready to kill him. And with the snap of a fingers, he could have given you the biggest I told you so ever.
Yeah.
Literally the biggest I told you so of all time. You know that there were people in the crowd being like, well, if he's the son of God, just fucking, like, step down off that thing. And he could have.
Which I think is the ultimate proof that it wasn't real.
Yep.
Because
I was going to say, it's either A, that it's the biggest I told you so moment of all time, or B, they just fucking killed a random crazy guy who was making up stories.
Dude, I think that fucking, I think that it wasn't even the life-saving aspect of it, which is the proof. Like, he could have saved his own life and he didn't. That's not the proof that he wasn't real. It's the fact that he had that I told you so moment.
And he
didn't take it.
Yeah.
Because that's far more better than living. That's
well, I would say that actually, you know, they always say that Jesus came down and became man. No, he didn't. Because no man could resist that moment. No mere mortal could resist the I told you so.
I mean,
so
he did fuck hookers, though, so.
Yep. Kinda. Well,
didn't we find out that was just a myth spread by Jewish people? Or
There's
it's
something like
Mary Magdalene was a whore. Surprising.
Well, the
in Christianity, she is not considered a hooker. Catholics talk about it.
Oh, yeah, that's what
it is. Because they, you know, that's the Da Vinci Code shit. Jesus, it was like, well, we can't have this girl take over the church. We have to call her a whore, and then the guys will control it.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Okay. I think St. Peter was like, I'm running the church, not Mary. We're going to call her a whore.
I have a theory that the water into wine was he just brought white wine and nobody had seen that. He's like, oh,
what do you think Lazarus really was? You think he just was like not dead? He was just like in a coma or like,
I don't know,
yeah, I think
he raised him from the dead.
I think people were pretty.
That was one of his miracles. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Pretty heavy duty miracle to be
that's
like
a solid one.
Like the water into wine could also be like. There was a couple of fucking, like, other tubs of wine that you guys hadn't drank yet. And when I did the old switcheroo on you. But, like, here's a dead guy. I made him alive again is pretty, you know, that's either real or not. But I don't know. Maybe he was just, like, a sick dude. You thought he was dead.
That was a guy taking the nap.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Maybe it could be like, yo, dude, play dead.
Yeah,
for a couple days. And we'll fucking, run
weed.
The world.
I found this weed. Smoke it. Yeah. Knock him out for a few days.
I don't know what made me think of this, but I'm reading Bob Odenkirk's memoir right now.
Yeah.
It's called Comedy, Drama.
Mr. fucking Reader Man.
But I honestly have no idea why I'm telling this. I don't remember what triggered it, but it's just so funny. He's talking about a sketch he did on Mr. Show that later became true. He's talking about a couple of things. One was like there was a zany reality star who super PACs pay to become president, and he's like, I didn't realize we were just doing a documentary on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, I laughed so goddamn fucking hard. And I actually look it up and see, because he says it came true in like Texas later. But the sketch was that there was a man on death row who didn't have the mental faculties mm-hmm. to get killed. He was too mentally challenged all to right. be killed. So they teach him until he's smart enough to kill.
This is a joke.
That's the sketch. But then he said, like, they did something similar in Texas.
God
like,
damn. Like, let's get this guy's SAT scores up so we can whack him.
Like, it was like they're putting him through therapies and having different fucking lessons and shit.
Like you give him a vocab test, you know? Like, what does Gregorius
oh, he nailed
mean?
This one. Get him
bam,
in the chair.
Fucking kill him. That's unbelievable, dude. I read a story about a pedophile in Philly the other day who chugged a pint of poison as the verdicts were being read. So I guess somebody smuggled him some what looked like water, and he was in his holding cell, and the what's it called? Like the cops who watched the fucking what's it called?
The bailiff.
Yeah, it was like we watched him like. Aggressively drank some liquid as the verdicts were being read, and then he started like foaming at the mouth and dying, like some true fucking like almost like movie shit where it's like, you know, slide him the cyanide pill or whatever. It turned out he was a pedophile, he was guilty, so like good riddance, whatever.
He died.
Yeah, he did die, so you wish he would maybe gets a little bit more punishment. But he made the right call. I remember early days of Barstool blogging, there was a guy, it was like 2010. And this guy killed himself, and the verdict came back not guilty.
No way,
and
dude.
Because I remember the whole blog just said, oops. That's all I wrote. But also talk about, like, as a jury, you're like, well, we got that one wrong. Right? Like, this guy was like, I did this. I'm clearly going to be guilty. Pow! And the jury's like, not guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, you guys don't know. You didn't listen at all.
Dude, my favorite one was, I forget the woman's name, but she was found guilty of like murdering her husband or something like that. But it was like one of those, like there was it was a very lenient sentencing because she was a woman killing a guy. But it
just like borderline allowed.
Yeah. It was like there were some, you know, like mitigating circumstances and stuff like that, and it might have been an abusive relationship. I forget whatever it was.
Yeah.
But like she was sentenced to like 5 years. Maybe 10 years. And as she's
for
being
killing
home,
a guy? Killed him?
So, it's something like, yeah, I'm sure I'm fucking up the story at some point. But right. Yeah, I mean, she definitely killed the guy. I'm forgetting exactly what the sentencing was, but right. It was very, very light.
Right.
Like she was going to get out and have a full life still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as she's being hauled away, she's begging for the death penalty instead. She's like, just kill me. Just kill
Let's
me.
Let's fucking do it.
Like, that's hilarious. It's like, you're going to jail. With good behavior, you'll be out before we change presidents.
I was going to say, you'll still be in the Biden administration, bitch. Shut up. Well, let's get into actually our topics then, because I have another legal death situation as a part of 1 Minute Man on KFC Radio today, and then we'll get back after we do 1 Minute Man. We got to talk about some comments that were made on another Barstool podcast that need to be addressed.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
1 Minute Man on KFC Radio. We had this cat who went to McDonald's, ordered some food. They gave him his fries. His fries were cold. He called the police because the fries were cold. One of those guys, you know. We always say that there needs to be a different phone number for these sort of events, you know. Called the police. They showed up. There was kind of an incident, a lot of yelling and screaming, I guess, fighting over the fries. Turned out he had a warrant out on him for murder. Going to jail now for first-degree murder because he had a fucking cold batch of fries.
A man's got to have a code, right? You got to have...
You got to draw a line somewhere.
There is... Yeah, like I think about it like fucking... what is it? History of violence or some shit like that, mm-hmm, right? Where, you're laying low and you're in the witness protection or whatever it is, but you're laying low, you're on the run, and eventually something happens where you're like, I have the ability to stop this.
Right.
I can make the world a better place right now. I would be putting myself in grave danger.
In danger, yeah.
And I would be outing myself, but someone has to step in and do something about this.
Yep.
And I like to think that it wasn't his first time getting cold fries. The first time he was like, you know what?
I can't blow my cover. I
did murder that person, so I'm going to lay low and not bring up the cold fries. And then he went back a second day, and the fries were cold. He went back a third day.
3 days. Three strikes, you're out.
He said, this is too much. This is too much. I am willing to go to jail to make sure that this McDonald's gets its place in chip shape.
There will never be another person that comes through there with cold fries while I rot in prison for the rest of my life. And for that,
I'll congratulations. For the rest of my life.
Gruel.
Because, you know what? Someday some kid's going to come into this McDonald's. He's going to be served cold fries. And he's not going to ever have McDonald's fries again. He's going to go his whole life without ever having fucking McDonald's fries. He saved the kid's life.
We're going to put that guy's face up on the McDonald's Employee of the Month. save that little boy from eating cold fries. Yeah.
Dude, imagine that. He's like, I'm not having another child come through here thinking McDonald's fries aren't delicious. It's me, Steve the murderer. And I'd like you to send the police down here, please.
Dude, it's funny that you said gruel because it reminded me we got off track. You put on the purple bandana, and obviously, immediately looked like Prison Mike. Yeah. Like 3 hours into the night, Jackie's like, you look a lot like Prison Mike. Yeah, no fucking kidding, Jacqueline. No fucking kidding. It's Prison Mike.
The only thing I've been doing was being high on mushroom yelling about gruel and dementors. And the dementors!
So, yeah, we had the murder guy with the cold fries. We also got... This one's a bit of a serious topic. The son of a bitch scumbag creep from Nickelodeon that everyone has known has been a creepy, grooming, borderline, sexual assault weirdo is, I think, finally going to go down.
Oh, is this the creator?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know. Jeanette McCurdy. Yeah. She was iCarly. You watch iCarly growing up?
Yeah.
Was she Carly?
No, she's Sam.
Okay. She's Sam. She wrote a book. I love this girl all around.
Oh, title's unbelievable.
The title is I'm Glad My Mom's Dead. Because her point is like now she can talk shit about her. But she was on iCarly. And at the time, this dude, Dan Schneider, had iCarly and Wizards of Waverly Place and whatever Ariana Grande was on. And he had hit after hit after hit with all these like young teens. And this in the book, Jeanette refers to him as the creator, which is super, it's like fucking, it's hella dramatic and a good title because he's the creator of all the shows. She's not saying his name probably for legal purposes, but like we all know who it is. And it's, you know, it's all alleged and nothing has been proven yet, but mountains of evidence that he used to like take these girls and go to dinner with them and make them drink when they were like young teenagers. The catch is I don't think he ever touched them. So I don't know if there's like full blown sexual assault. I don't know what the definition in quad.
So you just enjoyed the company of young girls.
Yeah. Like, no, for real though.
Like,
for real. I think.
Like, no, oh, whoa, dude, I'd be like, I mean, that's weirder.
Yes, right?
You just like hanging out with 12-year-olds?
You like being around
fucking
girls?
I understand.
Yeah. At least you're getting laid. At least you're busting a nut, man.
You're not even getting that dick wet, dude.
The mushrooms are still in the system. You're getting wild over there. You're wild, boy. You get this man just, in the wilderness.
Just,
you're wild.
Just to be clear, I am 100% kidding.
So
I very luckily do not understand fucking 12-year-olds. But doesn't make sense to me.
But this guy, the creator, when Harvey Weinstein got.
Well, you like shopping at Forever 21, so you're just like hanging out at Claire's,
just going to the mall, dude. Hanging out at Hot Topic, buying kids posters. When Harvey Weinstein went down, this guy was like, I never knew his name. I never remembered his name until now. Now, like, it's been said enough that I got it. But I remember everyone being like, oh, and there's that guy at Nickelodeon. There's the guy at Nickelodeon. Yeah. Everyone knows the guy at Nickelodeon. The guy, like, one of the worst kept secrets, the guy at Nickelodeon. It got so bad, and there was enough evidence and whistleblowing and stories that Nickelodeon didn't fire him because I think they were greedy son of a bitches who, like, wanted all these shows to continue. First of all, it's not like it's, I mean, we're making shows for 12-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
Do you need Scorsese back there? You know, can't we? I think we can swap in someone else to do iCarly, you know?
They like, put this, him, two kids, they live in a hotel. Done.
Story, you know, plays itself, you know? Oh, no, the dog, like, knocked over the food, and we have to clean up before mom gets home, because she's going, you know what I mean? Like, oh, she said not to have a party, and we did. What are we going to do? These storylines write themselves. But they put him in a separate room. He was allowed to have no contact with the actresses, but he still produced the shows. So he sat in a sealed room with all these screens and cameras and shit, would watch them act.
Just like every Predator in every movie ever.
Right. Like what's his name? Inspector Gadget, Dr. Claw.
Yeah, like when you kidnap someone and you put them in a basement with cameras,
yes,
and watch them. Like,
and he would have notes that he would write and give to another adult who would then be like, would run the notes down to the actresses. So they knew it was bad enough that they would not allow contact, but they didn't like fire him,
bro.
And then the kicker, we'll put it up here if you're watching YouTube. Have you seen him?
I've not seen him. No.
Oh, I think I actually showed this to you last night. We did this already, but I think you blacked it out because it was like,
no, I remember this. The
okay, ready?
I'm coming around on it. Like, this guy must be crazy talented.
Okay, ready?
like, dude, you think about that? Like when you're like, I mean, I think there have been some things at Barstool where it's like, you know, we can do something other people can't because we're a little more important to the company. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, no, you can.
This guy's the goat,
right? Like, this is like, no, I can fuck with the kids. Like, dude. Some people aren't allowed to be at work 5 minutes late. I get to touch the kids. How important are you to the company? Can you get the 12-year-olds drunk?
Because I fucking can't, dude. What are you bringing to the table? I'm bringing to the table like they let me get the 12-year-old drunk.
Holy shit.
But like that's the barometer of work. Like, yeah. Like do you do like 5-star work? Do you do gold star work? Do you do I can fuck the 12-year-olds work? That's what I'm allowed to do.
Oh
yeah, you know
God.
That superstar Ariana Grande? Yeah, they let me groom her. That's how good my storylines are. Okay, remember when you famously in arguments when you famously won the challenge?
The Doritos.
Yes. Where you said, "Close your eyes, right, and just picture this." So, I would say to you this. I would say, like, I've told you the story, Your Honor. I've told you the story, like, ladies and gentlemen, the jury. Close your eyes and picture the man who would do that. What he looks like, okay? And I'm gonna show you who Dan Schneider is. Like, oh yeah, he did that shit.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, you did show me this picture.
Yeah.
But you didn't. I didn't have any context.
I didn't give you the backstory. I was just like, oh, this guy looks like a rapist.
Yeah. That's yeah.
An alleged rapist.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, no, he did it.
I wish I didn't see it though, because now it made it real. Now I regret all my jokes. It was just a funny story. It made up. Like,
nope. Now this fucking fat tubby guy is. I think I don't know. Obviously, it's all alleged. Like I said, it's all just one woman's account. But it's not. It's Ariana Grande had stories. Vanessa Hudgens had stories. All these girls are like, yeah, no, that guy's a total fucking creep. And I just don't see how he, like, survives. You know, whether or not these guys go to jail, that doesn't happen anymore. But, like, I think the time has come to an end. You know what's funny? Kel's wife from Keenan and Kel.
Oh, okay.
Kel had all that, and then he had Keenan and Kel. So he was there, like, throughout all this, too. And she said that she would, like, go visit him on set when they were dating and stuff. And she was just like, yeah, no, this is fucking weird.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm sure this guy was probably weird with, like, all the white girls, you know what I mean? So I'm sure she was just like, oh, yeah, no, these white people are fucking crazy. This is some weird-ass shit that's going on over here.
Whoa, hang on. He was racist?
Racist, too?
Now I draw a line.
We also got...
Are you saying this guy wasn't a good man? I do like the other thing I know about this book is that she was offered $300,000 by Nickelodeon to basically sign an NDA, which don't mean anything.
NDAs mean shit, bro.
But to sign an NDA so she could never talk about this, and she just turned it down.
Yeah, because she was like, I want to write this book.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she had the foresight. Like,
oh,
she was young. When
yeah,
she was
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how old she was.
That's how you know it's bad.
But, like,
you want to hear the most depressing part of
I'd
the whole
be like,
fucking thing?
You offer me $300,000, I'll shut my goddamn fucking mouth.
Well, I'll just shut my mouth and I'll break it. And I'll.
How much would Barstool have to offer you to never write a book about Barstool? To never talk about Barstool?
I just feel like what you do is you break it, and then you write the book, and you make enough money to pay the fucking fines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But I would take it. I would.
I just don't know.
$50. I'd be like, oh, I didn't want to do this anyway.
I was gonna say the thing about it is I don't want to write the book.
You're giving me an excuse. So
if I could do like an oral history, if I could sit down and just tell you all the dirt and someone else write it, that would be a different story. Because I think you could make many, many millions doing that.
Yeah.
I think if you told the full Barstool story with some of the dirt, I think you could make like $10 million.
I also just don't remember anything.
I know.
So
a lot of people have said to me, like, you should do, not like a journal, but just write down like every day, like one, you know, brief description of what happened. And I'm like, totally, totally. And I've never done it once.
It's
so simple, and it would probably spark so many memories where it's like I could write a book from just these little scribbles, but I just don't do it.
I've gone through phases where I have like a diary, but you know what? Because
gay,
because we are so never shut the fuck uppers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll start my fucking journal for the day, and next thing I'm 3 pages in because I'm like trying to be funny. I'm like,
right,
I'm the only one who's gonna read this. The fuck cares? Just write
cracking
down your memory
jokes and shit. Yeah, no, I know that exact feeling. We also have, this was like last week, I don't know if it's old news now, if we didn't talk about it, Kevin Federline posting those videos of Britney and her son was the biggest swing and a miss I've ever seen in my life.
I know about them, I didn't watch them, I don't, and this is probably why I'm not really a huge reality TV guy, I don't like, I think you actually talked about this recently, where like you saw, like, you stopped on someone's Instagram video because you liked the look behind the curtain. and it was like,
Bert's family.
Yeah. I don't like seeing people's private moments. Mm. And that was.
What are you, fucking well adjusted?
Yeah.
And I don't. Private lives?
I don't even know the video you watched, so I don't know what that probably
was. Was Bert fucking a dog?
But like this in particular, even hearing about this, where it's like, she's kind of yelling at the kids.
That's the thing. So I don't know what she has been saying recently. I guess she was talking a little bit of shit about her sons. Usually she's pretty good to like her own family. It's like her kids and shit. It's the other family that's the problem. But Federline was like, I will not let my sons be like talked about this way. Which that I could understand if somebody was like talking shit about your sons. But also the way to fix it is not to throw their mom under the bus on Instagram. And then if you're going to do that, you got to have the goods. The video was like Britney being like, I'm your mother. You will not speak to me that way. And I think it was something like, take your shoes off in the house.
Yeah.
And it was like, literally every mom in the world has done this with like her two asshole teenage boys, you know? And Federline was like, gotcha, bitch. And he said, like, I debated all weekend whether or not I was going to post these. And like, me and my sons have discussed it. And we decided, like, we're going to do it. Like, you fucking loser.
Me and my preformed teenage brains.
Yeah.
The three of us together might
be
an adult man.
Well, honestly, I was going to say.
And we sat down and made some decisions.
I'd probably take the kids over Federline's fucking brain. Jesus
Dude,
Christ, that retard.
You know what's happened to him? What's really embarrassing is he deleted the videos, but he still has. He created his Instagram for that.
Oh, my God.
So he still has the videos. I'm sorry, he still has the Instagram, but the videos are gone. So he just has an Instagram page that with nothing on it.
Yeah.
And, like, bro, you drop your fucking bomb on Britney Spears, you think you're gonna fucking count those followers?
Rule
right?
the world.
How many followers do you think you got?
Probably got like 2,000.
It's like 35,000.
I mean, it's pathetic.
It is.
Pathetic.
He probably has less followers than Jackie, and he posted an expose on Britney Spears, and everyone's like, "Dude, this sucks."
Yeah, like the people like I've
hey,
always
dude,
said,
just so you know, she's showing her asshole over on her page, so I'm gonna go back over there.
Britney content is like instant
dude,
publicity,
instant
followers, and not even the ex fucking husband can do it.
I love that Britney was like fought for her conservatorship to end for so long. And then once it ended, she goes, and now I'm going to show you all why that was a bad idea.
Yep. I'm going to show you my literal asshole.
Shouldn't let me out of the cage. Birdie's going to fly. It's just like, he's like, all right, I'm going to marry this random dude. I'm going to show my asshole on Instagram. And I'm going to make my sons take their shoes off. I'm off the rails.
Told you don't let me free. I told you. And let me see if there's anything else. Anybody else got? Is there any other news that happened? There was a couple of fucking Minutemans I was going to do, Paz. You remember what? I said I was going to do them, and I never ended up doing them.
Brought that pig back to life. I feel like that one went under the radar.
Killed death.
Yeah, we also we figured out. Speaking of Jesus, we figured out how to resurrect dead things. We did it with pigs. These scientists. Found some pigs that were dead for, let me find out exactly.
It said hours.
Hours. Yeah. That's a long fucking time, man. Like, because you can do some, you know, people can be dead for like a couple minutes and then all of a sudden.
It's just so fucked up because when the brain doesn't have blood, like what's coming back?
Well, that's the thing. It's also like, did you save it?
It's zombies. We made zombies.
Yeah, we made zombies. It's fucking zombies.
Yeah.
And we did it with pigs. Now, pigs are also. Pigs are smart as fuck. They'll also, like, eat you and eat all your bones and shit like that. You know what I mean?
I think with the teeth, I believe. That's what they just said in Snatch, at least.
I thought they could do everything. I thought that was the
point. I think
the
they just don't like the taste of teeth.
But they can.
No,
I don't like a daisy teeth.
I think they say it in Snatch. I don't know the science behind it.
Eating someone's mouth. Imagine that. You have to eat someone's tongue and inside their cheeks and their teeth. How gross that would fucking be. Yummy. Yuck, disgusting. But they had these dead pigs. I think that they, like, resuscitated some cells. I don't know if it was like, oink, 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 and, like, went running around.
It got a heartbeat, I believe.
Yeah, and there was, like, some signs of life. I wish I had this pulled up.
That would have been dope to do it to that guy who killed himself in the prison cell.
With the fucking, like, no, we're bringing you back.
He thinks he died, and he comes back. He's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Yeah, we just figured it out on pigs. We figured you'd be first human test. That's got to be tough though. Like,
Yeah, pigs to the rescue. No. Scientists bring cells in dead pigs back to life. So here's where they get you, you know? Because I think people thought that, like, you know, Wilbur came back to life and was running around oinking and shit like that. Yeah, pigs exactly had been dead an hour when researchers at Yale circulated a nutrient-rich fluid through their bodies. After 6 hours, some cells in the pig's organs showed signs of functioning. I'll be honest. I'll be perfectly honest. Feidelberg does this every weekend when he drinks. I think Feidelberg is clinically dead for like an hour every night when he... and I think the oxygen starts flowing again and he just comes back to life. I think that's... You want to talk about a scientific breakthrough and a miracle? Just watch this man over here. He's on enough fucking antacid to cause dementia.
Hell yeah.
Motherfuckers. He drinks more and smokes more than any human that I know. Tops it off with some shrooms, and he's just back at it every day.
Every day, baby.
It's every day, bro.
It's every fucking day. That is true. There is a part of me that believes that maybe I die every night, and I'm just resuscitated.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying. Like, I'm putting in the legwork.
Every day. Jar!
But imagine that. If you had a really suicidal friend who just kept bringing him back to life,
yeah, imagine
like,
that
as a funny prank. If you're the doctor, you're the scientist who cure death. Your friend just keeps poisoning himself every night and every morning. You're like, not yet, motherfucker. what a form of torture that would be.
Keeping you alive.
Yeah,
resuscitating you left and right. Yeah, no, you resuscitate yourself like every fucking night. And then you go off and you read some fucking fancy book and you think you're a hotshot.
I do. I have been doing a good job of bettering myself a little bit while also destroying myself.
Yeah.
But like I for about a year straight now, I've been steady exercising.
Yes.
And then
exercise is impressive.
And then for a month and a half or so, I've been reading pretty regularly, and now I'm on Bob Odenkirk's new memoir, which is very interesting.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What I like about this latest one, though, is some of the stories you're telling me from the Odenkirk memoir. You know when people tell you about the book they're reading or the dream they had, and it's like, dude, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Sally Fields, I don't care. Demogorgon's fucking you in the ass. Nobody cares. But Odenkirk is a cool cat because he's seen it all. By the way, I think as we record this today is the finale
of Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
Which I watched aggressively for many weeks to catch up to watch this, and I just didn't watch the last three episodes. like I spent fucking 50 hours to catch up to watch the finale, and I missed the last two, so I'm just fucked now.
I hope somebody spoils it.
Just
for you.
Botched it. Yep. Just botched it big time.
But Odenkirk, man, between The Simpsons and SNL, and
hated SNL,
and he hated it all his time there.
Oh, hated it.
That's amazing.
Like
it's so funny.
His interview, he went into Lorne Michaels, was like, I don't even want to work here. And
really?
Was like, okay, fine. See you later. And then hired him like a year later or something like that.
Really? I mean,
like he went and was like, this show sucks.
When did he join up?
Season 11 through 15, he wrote there.
Which is?
He started with
Sandler and Farley and them, or no?
Yes, towards the end. I think I want to say they were probably season 13.
That's when it was still good.
Maybe 14. No, dude, his cast when he started, the stars were Lovitz and John Cusack.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I didn't even know Cusack.
Yeah.
I think Odenkirk's kind of like, not mean, but he's very honest. It's what you need to be in a memoir, I guess, yeah. Right? Like, he has a lot of things where he's just like, it was Cusack and Lovitz, both funny and talented people, but not necessarily at the same time.
Oh, man, that's tough. Yeah, I mean, he's just, that's the problem with when you asked about writing like a Barstool memoir, too, is like, to make it interesting, you got to kind of go like scorched earth.
Right.
And that's
even
the dick
things
move.
He says where it's just like, it's
things that we already knew,
but it's not like, it's not complimentary either.
Right.
It's like,
right.
It's like we had great writers. This unbelievable writer was with us. This unbelievable writer was with us. This guy was a solid writer. And it's like, it's just like, oh.
Yeah, that hurts.
Like, it's,
yeah. You got to be real. Like, if people are going to sit down and take the time to read a whole ass book, I don't want it to be, you know, it's got to be truthful.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you're going to throw people under the bus and you're going to, and again, it doesn't take much to put someone under the bus these days.
No.
Like, just. Like you just said, calling someone a solid writer instead of being like you're a phenomenal writer is enough for people to go, ooh.
Yeah, right.
Kirk didn't like it.
I definitely perked. I was like, ooh.
Oh, for sure. Right, for sure. Yeah. But what I found interesting was the stuff about Chris Farley. Because I have always, a lot of people ask me, like, who are my white whale guests and who was one person I wish I could interview. And I think I've narrowed down. I think my dream guest alive I wish we could get, I think, would be Jay-Z. And I think my dead person that I want to interview, I think, would be Chris Farley.
Yeah.
And the stuff about Farley is some of it's pretty interesting. And everybody who was around Farley says a lot of the same stuff. But Odenkirk had this one tale about, like, specifically when he knew it was a rap, which was like,
you mean like the real one or the one that, like, well, we'll tell them both. So yeah. So the two they're before we get far, I want to talk about Del Close real quick. Del Close is,
yeah, this is a guy I didn't know anything about. Del Close,
I know nothing about Del Close really until this book, but he's like, he's who Odenkirk gives him credit for being, like, he's the one who kind of inspired me to go into show business, not because of his career or his acting or anything like that, but because he bumped into Del Close in a record store or bookstore when Del Close had just been fired from Second City for like the fifth time.
Uh-huh.
And
same, which is a improv group troupe, right?
Yeah. And he was just like, he's like, oh, you're Del Close, like, I know who you are. And he's like you want to come hang out at my house? And so, like, they go to his apartment, and he's it's like wall-to-wall books, he's smoking weed, and he's just like a fucking mess. But he said that Del was the only person he'd ever talked to in his life. He grew up in Naperville, Illinois, which I guess is like kind of like a nicer business type town.
Mm-hmm.
And no one he'd ever met was excited about their life, really.
Right.
Like, no one was, like, excited about the future. Like,
sure.
Like, every day was just go to work. And, like, mm-hmm. He's like, Del Close was excited. He was like, he had ideas, and he was like talking. And you could tell he enjoyed fun.
Right.
And Odenkirk was like, I kind of want to go into, like, this kind of career.
Sure.
But despite the fact that Del Close seemed to enjoy life to some extent, this is what he says about Del Close's drug habits, I suppose. Where are they here? This is unbelievable. He looked older because of drugs, caps lock drugs. The usual suspects, caffeine, which I think is odd he adds caffeine.
Yeah.
The usual suspects, caffeine, and then we start going up pretty quick. Caffeine, pot, heroin, cocaine, peyote, LSD, psilocybin, mescaline, but also, back when he was traveling with Dr. Dracula's Den of Living Nightmares, a traveling show in the 1950s, he would visit flea markets and pick up old, outdated medicines collected from private stashes and swallow whatever was inside the little brown bottles, ingesting random substances from the early 1900s. He very likely ate polio. This regimen had left him a physical wreck, but his mind was as sharp and feverish as a college student on shrooms. It was, like, and then, so, like, that dude, kind of what we were talking about earlier, we're like, you're clearly trying to die.
Yes.
And yes. The woman.
Sabotage and cry out for help. All that shit.
The woman who runs Second City, I think her name was Jane or something like that, whatever.
Yeah.
Odenkirk closed the chapter on Del Close with a quote from her, where she says, "The most impressive thing Del ever did was not kill himself. He just found other things to do."
Too busy. I got this to-do list. I can't kill myself. That's I saw another quote recently that said, like, adulthood is just perpetually saying, I just got to get through next week and then things will slow down.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the only reason I haven't killed myself yet is because it hasn't slowed down.
Because next week things slow down.
Yeah. Next week when things slow down, I'll kill myself. And then it's like, oh, you got this and that and the other thing to do. But
with Farley.
The Farley one was
the Farley shit's particularly interesting because I read a book by Farley's buddies back when I was in college. It was probably 07 it came out. And it was, I forget what it was called. I'm sure you can look it up. It was like a lot of like letters from friends, right? It was like it was almost like an oral history type book, but it was Conan and Spade and Chris Rock and blah, blah, blah. Like a bunch of like Farley's boys. And they always kind of sharing memories and things like that. And one that stuck out to me when I read that book was Chris Rock saying that the Chippendale sketch was the one that, like, killed Chris Farley. And then Odenkirk said, in not the exact same words, but basically the same sentiment, which because the Rock one stood out so much, I was like, holy shit, I remember reading this.
Yeah.
But I forget, because it was 15 years ago, I forget exactly what Rock's explanation on it was. But Odenkirk said, I think it was, I don't know if it was his very first sketch or it was one of his earlier sketches, definitely his first hit
right.
at SNL, okay. The Chippendales with Swayze. But he said that you can see it in Farley's face even on screen, but then afterwards it got a lot worse where he was had such shame. And because Farley had been, he grew up in, you know, wherever, and he told his whole life that he's a fat idiot and yep. all that stuff. Yep. And what the Chippendale sketch did was confirm all his deepest, darkest fears that they're laughing at me, not with me.
Which, and, I mean, I get, because it's like, it's a hacky thing. It's like, you know, a stripper's supposed to be hot and Swayze's hot and there's the fat guy who's not. It's yeah. not groundbreaking material. But like, his dance moves and everything yeah. like were funny, and I think he's the greatest physical like comedian ever.
Right.
And part of that is just being the fat guy, but also no, like there are fat guys who don't dance like that, who don't throw themselves to sure. the table, who aren't like, you know, larger than life funny. So I it sucks that he was like portrayed that way. I wonder what, I always think about if Farley was alive today, if he would kind of be like the Sandman and like be separate. You know, or if he would be like front and center on social media or still doing these like crazy movies, or like if he would have by now would he have pulled like a McConaughey, and he would, like, if he could have become like a real actor,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
or if he was just a straight goofball the whole time. It's almost like, no, he was destined to just do what he did and die, because like I can't even begin to think of which route he would have gone down if he stayed alive. It's almost just like, no, that was fucking what was in the cards for you.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like I haven't really like read full books on it, but every behind the scenes documentary and VH1 and this and that all were like the same thing about like he was uncomfortable with the fame and being like the funny fat guy.
And because he had so been that his whole life where weird. He was like, Odenkirk was saying like he would just do things like in the middle of conversation, he'd like belly flop onto the ground and go, fatty fall down. And like,
yeah,
because that's what he had like.
That's you know, what he thought.
Said he would
wanted.
Do anything for a laugh.
Yeah, like which is funny because that is actually not to disrespect the dead in any way, but that's like the biggest loser shit in the world. Mm-hmm. The people who do that kind of stuff just for the attention. But when it was because he was so funny that people wanted him to always be funny for them, that he became the dancing monkey.
Yeah,
it's like it's one thing when you're doing it because you're not funny. He's so funny that he felt that he had to always be, yeah. you know what I mean? It's like you're not funny while almost being too funny at the same time. But I wonder, would it have lasted? Would eventually it be like, how many times can Chris Farley like break the little chair and
yeah, right.
do fat guy in a little coat? Like, was it just destined to be like a good couple movies, some good skits, and then you're out of here? Or if he would have turned into like, you know, truly funny shit or turned to drama or whatever. But it would be a bomb ass interview in this day and age.
They had the one thing I found interesting in the book was that they started Matt Foley, the motivational speaker,
yeah.
Van Down by the River. That was started at Second City,
really,
which shocks me that you could take it. They wrote it at Second City, performed it at Second City, and then
well,
you could just put it on SNL.
Before, like all this like
IP
rules and laws and regulations.
Odenkirk acknowledges and says it was standard practice to take your bits to SNL from yeah. other places. But like, I'd be like, no, that
might have been their pitch. Like, come to Second City, and you know, you get launched to SNL.
You can, you know? Have all your stuff.
I mean, but that to me, Matt Foley, motivational speaker, the Chris Farley show skits, and my favorite is the decaffeinated crystals. Do you know that one?
With the meme, right? With like the
yeah. But that whole skit. Have you ever seen the full skit?
No. No. First of all, yes, I like, absolutely have.
What if I told you? What's the? It's like the coffee name is funny too. It's like what if I told you you're drinking like blah 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 the decaffeinated crystals, and he's just like, What?
Yeah.
Why, you son of a bitch? And he just burns the whole restaurant down and goes fucking crazy on it. Just the classic funny shit that...
The
like,
most...
Who would you say is modern-day Farley? Is there like a...
It's kind of fucked up because you think of fat, but like I always think of Jake Johnson as a great physical actor.
Jake Johnson?
Yeah. Nick.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say a fat guy.
No. That's why I was like, I think he's a very funny. He's very expressive.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie Kelly's very expressive too.
Yeah.
DeVito. DeVito's like, he's always making the faces.
Yeah.
And he's getting naked. DeVito might be the answer.
Yeah.
That
for
if
real.
We're doing like an overweight person. But I think Jake Johnson and Charlie Day are both like expressive and
wild
and
crazy. Yeah.
Despite they're both smaller guys. But the last thing about Farley in the book that was very depressing, because it is the last thing, is, Odenkirk talks to, he was in Denver, I believe. And, he was doing something at some bar, a theater or something like that. And someone comes in and is like, Farley's outside. He wants to talk to you. And Odenkirk wasn't put off by this because it is, at this point, like, Farley couldn't go anywhere. He was, you know, he's
going to a club, yeah.
And so he's like, I'll go out. So he goes out to the limo, and Farley's in it with guys who had just offered to sell Odenkirk coke.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, he's doing coke. Like, he's not hiding. He's doing
right.
cocaine.
Right.
And he says he looks ready to pop. He says he's red faced,
swollen,
like grizzled beard, swollen as hell, looking ready to pop. And he said that while they were talking, he got the vibe that Farley was picking up on the vibe that Odenkirk was thinking, this is the last time I'm ever going to see you. And
to be like, this is, I know that you know that I know this is the last time we're going to see each other because I'm fucking dead tonight.
Dude, is
crazy.
But it wasn't.
So sad.
Dude, and he was like, I get what Odenkirk's like, look, if I could go back and do it again, I don't even know that I would. Because, like, yeah, I want to grab him by the lapels. I want to drag him to fucking rehab. And I want to tell him to get his life together. And he's wasting it. And he's going to throw away something great. And he's like, but we've done it 10,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to tell him anything he hasn't heard. Yep. I'm not going
to.
I don't want to
do it yourself.
What can I? I've tried. You know, I've done it. And he said, we just said our goodbyes. And I don't know if he says the exact week, but he says a few weeks later, I was at his funeral. Which is pretty brutal.
Yeah, that is, and I love that. Not love, but the fact that Odenkirk and both Chris Rock both said "fuck that skit" for the Chippendales thing.
They both ended their the description of the Chippendales with "fuck that sketch,"
which is so. I mean, you just don't know the in and outs of what's going on in some of these places. Like, you think it's all funny and like, oh, that was amazing, and there were people who were like, that skit ruined lives.
Yeah,
it's fucking unbelievable.
Still, they play every time the Bruins score a fucking goal.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's going to put a damper on the Bruins' goal
scoring from now on. I bet, for sure.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
There was a take given on the Barstool airwaves this week that I must stand up for my fellow man.
I would say that this show now officially has the hottest takes at the company.
Me and Girls Pod.
Yeah.
And I tip my cap to them because I don't think they are fraudulent. I don't think they're doing this. They're phony about it. I think that they have some unbelievably bad or insane and or interesting takes at all times. I'm not knocking them. It's like sometimes it's interesting, sometimes I agree with them, and sometimes I'm like, you bitches are crazy. And that's how you have a good podcast. Every time their clips go viral, every time they get a bunch of comments, of course there's going to be people that hate, of course there's going to be people that disagree, but they move the needle every single time they talk about sex, relationships, work, dating, people, life, all of it.
Did you see yesterday they discovered the Amazon position?
The Amazon position? Oh, did they?
they're like, breaking news, the Amazon position. I quote tweeted it for months. I was like, breaking
news, breaking dick, more like.
Breaking dick 12 years ago, but breaking news. I thought we talked about that with them on our podcast, no?
No, we talked about it with Joey and Pat, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was going to say, if you want to come on and do a Deviant episode, we could really teach you some shit.
Alex Bennett said that masturbating when you're in a relationship, whatever, she's indifferent. Masturbating when she's married, that's where she draws the line.
Wait, she's serious about this?
Because she believes it to be...
I thought you said her therapist told her this, and then she was like, that's ridiculous.
No, she
believes it.
She believes it's a form of emotional cheating, not because of her therapist, because of her marriage counseling that she had before she got married, which I'm going to guess is pre-Cana, which is something you have to do. You have to go sit down with a priest for like a couple hours, and you have to do this group thing where you like answer questions as a couple, and it's basically just more brainwashing from the Catholic Church. And I'm guaranteeing that's a preacher of some sort of priest who's trying to tell you masturbation is bad. His point was intimacy is now with your wife. You fuck your wife, you fuck your husband. That's how you get your rocks off. Masturbation is not a thing. She said that this is the thing about Alex. I told her this to her face because we did ATI with her and we did the podcast with her. And there were times where we were talking about gaslighting and all that.
Yeah.
And she would be like, you know what? That's a good point. Mm-hmm. You changed my mind. And I was like, wow, you don't really hear people often who listen to another point of view, internalize it, and then say, shit, I've changed my mind. Now I'm thinking that she's just easily persuaded, and anything that gets planted in her brain, she can agree with. Because she was like, I never thought of that until that priest told me, my marriage counselor told me, that's cheating. And now that's been in my head ever since. I was like, oh, okay, so you are just brainwashed. I don't know what Jordan's response was because I didn't hear it on the podcast. I only heard the clip. But let me tell you something. If you're in a relationship where someone tells you that you can't masturbate or it's cheating on you, run for the hills, because that's as toxic as it gets.
Yeah, when you start throwing in like fucking caveats on cheating, like it's emotional cheating. It's like, it's not. It's I'm just jerking my own dick is all it is.
Right.
You're making it more than it is.
No, and like, let me tell you, if you're fucking your wife or jerking off every day and not fucking your wife, and the whole time you're picturing your ex-girlfriend or something like that, like, that's a problem. Like, you know, you probably are in a relationship that's not satisfying for you, and maybe that's a red flag, but you're not doing anything, like, inherently wrong.
No.
You're not cheating. You're not... We did answer the internet with them. You'll see it soon. One of the questions was, if you jerk off to a webcam girl, is that cheating? And I was like, because that's a little different. You're interacting with them. Maybe you're the one telling her what to do. You're basically, but here's a spoiler alert, because, you know, fuck it, but it'll be on their ATI. But I was playing devil's advocate for a little bit, and we just kept pushing it further. So I can understand jerking off with a webcam girl that you pay for. I can understand a girl being upset about that. Like, she's listening to you. You're telling her what to do. You're having a moment, just the two of you. I could see where a girl gets upset with that. I said, now, what about if you are watching, if you're like in the chat room, let's say, I don't even know if this is possible, but let's say I'm in the chat room, he's in the chat room, you're the one like paying her to do shit, but we're just kind of watching her while we jerk off. Is that cheating? And I kept moving the needle. And they were like, yes, of course. And I was like, well, what's the difference between that and porn? It's pre-recorded. That's the only difference. And she was like, yes, pre-recorded matters.
And then
I said, how about this? Okay, pre-recorded matters. What if let's just get crazy with it. I'm on a porn set. Someone's making a porn. No one's involved. I live stream this porn set. You jerk off to it. Is that cheating? They said yes.
What?
And I was like, but if that same video is then pre-recorded and uploaded to a porn site saying behind the scenes of a porn site, they said that's not cheating. I was like, you girls are just dumb.
Their issues is with quality of edit?
Yeah. No, like timing of the edit. No edit was involved. This is, this is a live recording with no cuts. That's cheating. Masturbating.
I mean, this is all just some
masturbating,
shit.
Masturbating,
like,
cheating is insane. As a matter of fact, masturbating is the anti-cheating. It's what people should do before they cheat. Jerk off, get your nut off, finger yourself, and then be like, if I still want to cheat, that means you have a problem in your relationship that you have to address. But sometimes you just get that nut off, and you're like, okay, I don't want to cheat anymore.
That's what Carrie Underwood sings in her famous song, Before He Cheats. Just talks about how much her husband jerks off.
Does she?
No. I mean, she does have a song called Before He Cheats, but...
Yeah. About, like, I mean, I if
probably
you...
Probably beating him up or something.
Just jerk off and...
That's all Carrie sings about.
Clear that fucking brain.
Carrie Underwood is like fucking modern day Eminem.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of songs about beating the shit out of her husband.
Hey, you see that girl that murdered her boyfriend? Fuck that chick.
Who?
There was a video.
Oh,
of her.
Yeah, the OnlyFans chick.
There's a video of her like whacking her boyfriend in the elevator, and it's like, how many guys have gone through that where your drunk girlfriend is punching you and whacking you in the head, and you just keep ducking it and kind of pushing her aside because you know you can't fight back. And then they went into the apartment. She stabbed her to death.
No, that was an older video. So,
but still, fuck that. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of shit that leads to fucking dead bodies, man. And that's what happens if you don't let your fucking husband jerk off without being called a cheater. Poor Graham is just sitting there at home jerking off, feeling guilty about it. Guy's a goddamn billionaire, can't jerk his own dick without his wife calling him a cheater. Jesus Christ.
Hey, babe, just so you know, I have money where I can kill people. I'm going to jerk off.
We got to have Graham on KFC Radio. Yeah. Graham, open invite to come on and just be like, these bitches are crazy. Who knows? Maybe he's getting brainwashed and believes it, too. Yeah, my marriage counselor told me I can't jerk off.
You can't jerk off.
Let me say this.
So I just fucked the couch cushion?
I would go as far as to say this, and I think I stand by it. There is nobody in the world that can tell you how or what or how to jerk off or when to jerk off.
Yeah, my body, my choice.
Absolutely. Your mother can't tell you. Your girlfriend can't tell you. Your wife can't tell you. Your boss can't tell you. Sure as fuck, some priest who doesn't know anything about sex can't tell you.
Dude, that's listening to a priest about any of this shit.
Bananas.
Is for real, like...
It's like taking financial advice from a homeless person.
Right.
It's like, you literally have no money. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't have no bitches.
Dude.
Those priests have no bitches, and they're trying to tell you about how to act with these girls.
This is, by the way, the creator...
Mm-hmm.
Really throws a curveball on the whole Catholic Church thing.
What do you mean?
They're always referring to the creator. They love the creator.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's probably part of why she did it to you. Anybody who's a creator, like content creator, is going to go, we're going down a bad path now.
They're like, oh, did you think in the Bible we're just talking about God with the creator? No. We're about that dude we love over at Nickelodeon.
Dan Schneider, you fucking creepo.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were gonna launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
First voicemail.
Wait,
what
before we get into that, I want to tell you a story real quick.
Yep.
You're saying body reminded me of this. So I had a little party on Saturday. I had some friends over and some friends, parents of friends and all this kind of stuff. And one of my friend's mothers, she's 80 years, well, almost 80. So her mother is still alive. And she's telling a story about how her mother is 98 years old and still as biting as ever.
Right. Oh, yeah, this is terrible. Mm-hmm.
And she said, just the other day I walked in to see her, and she said, you put on some weight. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Mom. Like, I'm almost 80. You're almost 100. Like, fucking, how about we stop body shaming each other? And then the hours go by, day progresses. I go up. We had some, like, sushi platters out there. I go up to get a sushi platter. I've been in the water at this point, so my shirt is off. And she just looks at me, and she goes, John, you better not run into my mom. She'll tell you put on some weight. And I was like, is she... I still don't know.
That's like Trump when he's like, I didn't... Like, I wouldn't... If I was mean, I would say that she's a fat, ugly pig, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Or when he retweets it, so he says, I didn't say it, that other person did.
But I can't tell, like, is she just saying I'm bigger? Because, like, I have been exercising. I'm going to say, I'm not fat right now.
No. But you got that barrel, though. You know, yeah. You got that big chest.
It is. I don't know. I'm going to think about it until the day I die. I just promise.
Yeah, no, that's going to haunt you for life. I'm like, that might be the cause of death, to be honest.
Like, I'm like, what do you mean?
You want to hear some real depressing shit? That girl, Jeanette, who wrote the book, her mom, who's dead, was like, had eating disorders and passed all that shit on to her and was like tough on her. Her mom was like in a coma and would like never respond, except she came in and said, "Hey, mom, I lost 10 pounds. And her mom would like perk up and be like, "Really?
Really?"
It's like, yeah, I would have smothered that bitch. Yeah. I'd have been like, yeah, now I'm lean enough to fucking choke you out, you dumb whore. Yeah, no, I mean, you're not fat.
I'm not skinny, but I'm not fat.
Skinny fat, brother. Yeah, but you'll always have that chest.
Yeah, I'm broad.
You don't have any curves, bro.
No.
You have no, like, your rib cage and your hips are all the same.
Yeah.
Your rib cage, your hips, and your thighs are all the same.
Yeah.
So you just go right down. And then, like, there's a little bit of taper from your knees to your ankles. You know what I mean? Other than that, you're basically just a rectangle. That's it. You're just a fucking rectangle, dude. Voicemails, what do we got?
Guys, what's up, Jackie? Just a quick question. Not really even a question, it's just a statement. I just feel like it's common courtesy if you're hooking up with someone, just be like, "Hey, I'm on my period." No big deal. Chances are they're fucked up anyway, you know? Running on cheap whiskey and beer, I don't need to be surprised by blood on my dick. It doesn't make it any easier for me at that point. Yeah, I don't know. Just had to say that. Anxiety's through the roof right now.
On the one hand, I think there is some common courtesy of like, hey, just going to let you know, I'm going to bleed all over you when we fuck.
Yeah.
On the other hand, this is a handsome fella, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Good looking guy.
Good looking fella.
And, you know, depending on who he's fucking, maybe she doesn't want to blow it, you know? Like, if I'm taking you home, like you said, running on whiskey and beer, and maybe I was already, you know, making a bad decision, or not a bad decision, but, you know, one I wouldn't ordinarily make, and then all of a sudden she says, "By the way, I'm going to bleed all over you," I mean, I'd be like, we passing. So maybe Kevin, this chick wants the dick, dude.
Kevin, 34 years old now, bro.
I know.
At this point.
I know. I know. I'm just
fucking
saying,
a uterine wall turns me on.
Oh, my heavens. The word sloth. Sloth gets my dick hard.
Dude, don't get me wrong. When I was like in college, there was a time in my life where I was like, oh, I can't have sex on my period.
Yeah.
Bro, I'll fucking eat your box on your
period. No, you won't. No, you won't.
I don't give a fuck.
Don't make promises,
dude,
that you can't.
I don't give a god damn.
No. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'll fuck a girl on her period. I'm not eating her pussy.
Dude, I have run into, let's say since I turned 27, countless times where a girl is like, wait, I'm on my period. And I'm like, if you think I give a single fuck, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Would you get self-conscious? Would you tell a guy ahead of time?
I get so scared that I'll, like, tell them way too... Like, I'll be at the bar and...
Yeah.
By the way, I'm bleeding.
By the way, like, if you don't want to go, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But almost every single guy will respond with, "I don't give a fuck."
I don't care. Will that be, like a boyfriend situation? Or, like if you go out...
It would have to be, like if I'm consistently hooking up with somebody.
Yeah, like, if you went out for the night... It's probably most girls are probably not gonna fuck on the first night anyways, probably double so if they're on their period.
Yeah.
But when let's say how like hot does he have to be, or how like holy shit, this guy is like, I don't wanna let this opportunity go through, like, pass by.
Well, if he was really hot, then I would like make sure not to, because I wouldn't want to be like, sorry, like I did just bleed all over you. Like I would,
but
if
would you
he was
go
like kind of
like, I'll
like
blow
not
you or
that
something?
Cute. What?
Would you go home and think I'll blow you?
Like, yeah, just blow. There's
no camera on Jackie. Jackie said that so casual. Yeah, just blow.
No. I'm sorry. That made me sound. But like, I actually probably would just be like, my roommate needs me, and just not go home with him, and then just be like, I'll just hook up with him another.
But like, if that, you know, if that guy was like, all right, like, see you never. You know?
Yeah, then I just blow
him.
Like, I don't know. Just, being honest,
it is funny. One of the better things that guys somehow pulled off was like, Well, if you're bleeding, you have to blow me.
Yeah.
Like, you can't not. You know, if you got your period, you have to still suck my dick.
Blue balls.
Yeah.
I'm like, some girl's like, on my period, I'm like, don't worry, I always travel with a black towel, so I'll just lay that down.
Could you imagine if a man was just like, don't worry.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I got my Dexter kit with me. We're good.
Yeah. That
I'm bleeding and a squirter.
Jesus Christ. God, loose. But so if you got surprised by it, would you care? Would you be like, whoa, could you give me a heads up?
No, I wouldn't care.
Also, sometimes, if it happened to me,
I get his sentiment.
Yeah.
But, like, me personally,
I think I'd be like, I would assume, I'd be like, oh, you know, sometimes you don't know exactly when it's going to start. But if it was, like, you know, day three and you're just, like, fucking running up in there and it's just a goddamn, you know, red rum scene.
I guess
I was surprised by it once, and like I didn't know until I got to the bathroom after, and I was like, "Oh Jesus!"
Well, there's always that time where you're like, "Damn, girl, you extra wet."
Yeah.
And you're like, "And you also really smell like pennies tonight." And then you look down, and you're like, "Oh my god, it looks like you chummed my dick."
Even when you know, it's still like, it's like almost when you eat asparagus or fucking.
You're still shocked beets. By it.
You're still like, "Whoa, what the? Holy oh, shit. Right, 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 right. Yeah.
It's a quick moment. Yeah.
But I guess it for his argument, I guess, like, you tell a girl when you're about to come. Right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, we're all trying to keep our bodily fluids.
It's a fluid that they'll be surprised.
You
know? Like,
yeah.
I'm about to be in your mouth or whatever. Like, I'm going to come just so you know.
But
like,
also, the thing is, like, there's no way to avoid the mess. You can avoid the mess with the cum. You can't avoid, like, if I'm going to fuck your pussy while it's bleeding, it's going to be a mess. So why even bother? You know? Let's just do it.
Yeah. Like. Jackie is being attacked by a bumblebee right now, but it's a bumblebee. But that seems to, yeah.
Let's make sure we film this.
It's thick. I don't like it.
Don't bring it over here. It's your job to stand there and attract the bees away from us.
Why? I've never seen a bee like that. Bee's been around here for like
that. Bee has a crush on you. That bee is trying to fuck. Tell him you're on your period.
I don't care. Bzz.
The High Noon El Prez Pack is here, featuring my top four High Noon Vodka Seltzer flavors. These flavors include passion fruit, pineapple, pear, an all new flavor, tangerine, all made with real vodka, real juice. This 12 pack is only here for a limited time, so get it while you can. Just look for the pack with my face on it. You can even scan the QR code in the pack and have me virtually join your party. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find the El Prez pack nearest you.
What's up, KFC?
This guy looks like Viggo the Carpathian from Ghostbusters 2.
I've been drinking. But with that being the case, I have a question for you. So, I don't know. I spent all day pretty much drinking, and like I thought I was doing pretty good. But I'm about to go to bed, and I'm emptying my pockets. I find a key. Just one key. I have no fucking clue where it goes to or what it's supposed to do. I literally don't remember ever getting this key. Like, at all. Where the fuck does it go? Like, but my question to you is, what's the weirdest / unknown thing you've ever like acquired?
This man stole someone's keys. There's someone going home that night being like, that fucking weirdo stole my keys from the bar.
By the way, I don't get the Ghostbusters 2 reference. I'm not a nerd.
Ghostbusters is a nerd movie?
I think Ghostbusters
what?
Is kind of a nerd movie.
Ghostbusters is like a
I know it's like a classic comedy. Yeah.
I just haven't seen it.
That's
on you.
When I haven't seen something, I have to put you down.
That's on you, dog. waking up with someone's keys is a bit like, well, that's a real inconvenience. Like, I remember there was a bar.
A pill bottle once.
A pill, empty or full?
Full.
Oh, no. Yeah. What kind of pills?
Not fun ones.
That's
I forget.
Not good.
I forget what it was. I remember finding it on the floor of the bar, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Whoo! Yeah, like, look up
no,
what these
no
are."
No name or anything, just like a.
And I had a name on it. I don't know who it was. I don't remember the name, but it was at Dockside in Newport.
That's not good.
Someone I picked him up, put him in my pocket, went back to the apartment. Was like, "Fuck yeah, I'm gonna pop some pills," And then it was like, it wasn't quite heartburn medication, but it was like something of the effect.
Yeah. There was, I mean, this is different, but like there was a bar at Fordham in the wintertime. Like people would like take their jackets off and kind of throw it on this couch. And then at the end of the night, it was just like a free for all. Like,
I'll take yours, you take mine.
Like it was a very like, well, I'm not a thief, but someone stole my jacket, so I'm not going home cold.
Yeah.
So I'm taking someone else's. And then there, you know, there's one poor bastard at the end of the night who's like, well, I'm the only guy left without a black North Face.
Right.
Like, every other one has been stolen. So, but someone's key is a little bit different because it's like, well, that might be a problem.
Yeah, I accidentally stole someone's coat from the bar once.
Coat.
And I got all the way back to, it was actually, I was living in the dorm. It was when I got back into college at like 22, living in the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered the phone and they're like, you have my jacket. I'm like, no, this is my coat. Like arguing with them. They're like, look at the phone you're on right now. And it just wasn't my phone. I'm like, yeah, I'll be right back to the bar.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right. Last voicemail. What do we got? This guy calling from like the control center of a fucking space station.
What's up, Fights KFC? I was just listening to the Stavros interview and I thought it was funny. I work at MSG. He was talking about the show that he did with Sam Morril here. In my first week here interning, I was actually working on that show. It was a weird little, you know, cross of worlds work and my personal life listening to you guys. But my question is, me and my buddy were having this argument the other day whether or not mac and cheese is a pasta. And I get that there's, you know, mac and cheese, there's macaroni in it. That was his argument, but my argument was that if I invite you over for dinner and
offered
I say
pasta.
We're having pasta and we're having mac and cheese, it's just one big bowl of mac and cheese.
This is a,
I think that's a little weird.
This is a like literal definition versus like, are you an asshole or not? If I said, let's go have some pasta and I give you SpaghettiOs, if I give you mac and cheese, if I give you, you know. Yeah, it's probably just those two. But, like, come on.
Does it
fall under the pasta, you know?
It is the pyramid? Pasta.
Yeah, it has to be.
Pasta.
But, like.
But it is fucking.
You know what it is? This is in my house, growing up, like, the bunch of mix that we are. We never had pasta. We had noodles.
What does that mean?
Noodles. Pasta was noodles. Spaghetti, noodles. Elbows, noodles.
What?
Penne, noodles.
That's crazy town.
Noodles. That's what mac and cheese is, not a pasta. It's a noodle.
I get what you're saying, but like, yeah, no. If I said, hey, I'm making pasta, come over, and you show up and I got fucking
Easy Mac.
Easy
Mac. Dickhead.
Or like, what the fuck is this,
yeah,
dude?
You Velveeto over here? Fuck you.
No doubt about that.
It's delicious. I wouldn't even be necessarily upset.
I would just be like, what are you calling
pasta? We're not eating pasta.
You're calling it pasta.
We're switching gears here and now having mac and cheese. I also would accept the answer that mac and cheese is unto itself, like a Pop-Tart.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Pop-Tart? It's just a Pop-Tart. What is mac and cheese? It's just mac and cheese.
Pop-Tart's ravioli.
Pop-Tart is a breakfast ravioli.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. But like if I did Easy Mac and didn't put the cheese in, you're having elbows, you're having pasta.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you just did Easy Mac but put like olive oil in instead.
Yeah. 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 So
it is.
It's a literal pasta, but come on now.
It is. Here's the deal. You're 100% right. It is pasta. I'm also 100% right that if you did that to me, we wouldn't be friends anymore.
Yeah, I'd punch you in your fucking face.
It wouldn't. I would take
the mac and cheese. I would eat it.
I'd be more excited.
And I would fucking leave you.
I also think pasta is Italian and mac and cheese isn't.
That's a good call. Mac and cheese is an American.
Mac and cheese is Southern.
Southern, yeah. Yeah.
Like, so it can't really be like pasta. Fucking, you put the sauce or the gravy and the moods, whatever the fucking.
Yeah.
Whatever the fucking Giovanni Pavanelli over here does. It is not an Italian dish. Mac and cheese is not an Italian dish. Pasta is Italian dishes.
I like that. Is it all Italian though? All pasta is Italian. Is that true? Probably, right? Is like gnocchi Italian?
Oh,
yeah. Is there any non-Italian pasta? That's I guess when you get into noodles, because then you get into like, you know, like Asian noodles have a lot of the same like tendencies and like similarities to pasta, but you would never call that pasta.
No chance. Like lo mein, no fucking chance that pasta.
But if you had like a long, I don't know, what's the long flat pasta, linguine, is very similar to lo mein.
For sure.
So you know, It's all just about like which ethnicity made it. And if it's a Southern woman or a white trash fucking, you know, dad making it for his kid, it's just mac and cheese.
Put in it. So I think that mac and cheese would not be considered Italian.
Right. So I was saying, but if I didn't put like the powdered cheese in there and we put some fucking aliole on it, then it becomes Italian.
It is weird how with food, that all food is just food. Like we make up these like Mexican food.
Calories, dude.
It's all the same.
Oh yeah, it's meat, cheese.
It's all meat,
carb,
cheese, and
a
meat.
Well, especially Mexican food. Really? This is a taco, but this is a burrito. This is a chimichanga. That's a they're all like, is the cheese on the inside or the outside? Is the meat wrapped up in this or that?
But then it's, you think about like a fucking an Asian bowl where it's like, this is chicken and rice and
but this one's
veggies.
Called
and it's like it's all
bok choy and this one.
I guess
called,
like Pav said, like it's the seasoning and like the flavoring of it. But like there are like five foods
total. Yeah,
like all you put in different seasonings, but there are like five foods.
Yep, and that's it. It's It's like pasta, meat, poultry, fish.
Carbs.
And those all just get mixed and matched until you have dishes. Amen. Speaking of that, I am fucking starving. So we're going to wrap it up. Signing off from the Westport River here with Huckleberry Fights. Huckleberg. Johnny Huckleberg. We'll see you guys next episode.
Make sure you subscribe to KFC Radio on YouTube to get all the video content. Subscribe, comment, like, and make sure you turn on the bell notifications so you know whenever new video content drops.
I want to say something, but the video has to be faster. That's it.